And that's going to be where our Christmas message is going to be from. The passage is very self-explanatory, but there are a few things I'd like to point out from there. Please come up. Thank you.
Thank you. Luke chapter 2, 1 through 20. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. This first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Because he was of the house of the family line of David, he did this to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and who was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in tightly swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields, keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. For look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly hosts with angels praising God and saying, "Glory to God, the highest in heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors." When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed and what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told.
Shall we pray, please? Father, this morning we thank you. We praise you, we give you glory for Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came to die for us. And this morning we yield to you and we surrender to you. Lord, I personally pray for clarity of heart, clarity of thought. I pray, O Lord Almighty, that you will speak to your people today. And Lord, we open up to you and we pray you will help us to grasp that which you have for us today, that we may go on from here to live the life you've called us to live. We bless you, Lord God. We worship you. We give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. This morning, I'm speaking on the subject, the Savior is born. I started a four-week series. The first one was the prophetic truths about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we went through the Bible looking at all the prophecies that were said through humans and why it was important for that prophecy to be made, which was that sin had separated us from God and there needed to be someone who would come and reconnect us to God. And that person was going to come in the person of Jesus Christ. And we also moved on from there, looking at the messenger and his messages. We looked at the birth of John the Baptist, why it was important for John the Baptist to be born. And as children of God, you see that God was fulfilling his promise. And in this case, it wasn't just an easy thing to fulfill his promise. He had been using people, but it got to a point where an angel had to come to deliver the message, because the time had come for the messages to be delivered, for the children to be born. And we also looked at the last week's sermon, which was the good spoiler. Jesus Christ coming messed it all up for the kingdom of darkness. Oh Lord. Jesus Christ going to be born was a big spoiler, in a good way. Basically messed it all up for the kingdom of darkness, because the kingdom of darkness had one agenda: to control and to make sure none of us end up with God in heaven. But God intended others. He had other plans, and he sent his son Jesus Christ to come into this world. And an angel came to Mary to deliver this news that the Savior was going to be born. Today, we are looking at the Savior being born. And my main passages that I'm going to be focusing on are when you look at Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. It says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night." And then it continues from 9. "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a baby wrapped in swaddle cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men.'" Peace, goodwill towards men. The Savior is born. The Savior is born, and his name is Jesus Christ. The writer Luke wanted to make it clear, and he started, when you read the four epistles, they all had different angles in writing on Jesus Christ. But Luke wanted to point out certain things that really do tell us that this birth of Jesus Christ was not a hoax, or was not something that was concorded by people to tell. He actually states that this happened in the time when Caesar Augustus was in ruling. And if you all know history very well, Caesar Augustus was a great man. He was a good leader. He had a lot of battles. I want to just tell you a little bit. He was born with the name Octavian, named after his father. His grandmother was the sister of Julius Caesar. And being a talented young man, Octavian came to the attention of his great uncle. Julius Caesar eventually adopted Octavian as his son, and he was made his official heir in 45 BC. Within a year, Caesar was murdered, and Octavian joined with two others, Mark Antony and Lupidus, in splitting the denomination of Rome three ways. For decades, the whole Mediterranean was filled with wars and violence. Now, under their rule, it became far worse. There were wars of bloody sharing of blood, brutal fighting for power and money in Rome and the province. That's just a little bit I can tell you about this man being Caesar. It was very important that Luke mentions this man, that if you don't believe the story about Jesus Christ, it happened during the time when this guy was in ruling. And so, sitting here today, coming together and saying that we are celebrating the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's not something that some old people somewhere plotted and planned to come and twist and deceive everybody about. It really did happen. It did happen. And this is something that should make us that even more joyful. This is something that should tell us that, you know what, we have not believed in a lie. We have not believed in a hoax, that there is no future for us. There is indeed a future for us. And I've been talking about this all this while, but today we are focusing on the Savior being born. And coming all the way down, we see how the shepherds were in the field. Caesar Augustus had passed a decree that he did that for taxing purposes, that all people under the rule of Roman Empire were to go to their homes to be censored. So basically, you go back, it's like when we are getting ready to vote, everybody goes to be, those who are legitimately here to vote, we go back and we are registered and all that. That is what was happening. And we are told in this writing that Joseph and Mary went to register. Historians do believe that it was actually, it looks, when you look at the story, as if, oh, they traveled and they went, and while they were going, Mary gave birth. No. It tells us that the historians believe that Joseph and Mary literally somehow used that as an opportunity to escape into going away from the scandal. We all know how Jesus was born. Mary was betrothed to Joseph to be born, and then suddenly they found that this lady is pregnant. Where I come from, people will start talking. Did you see? The girl is pregnant and they are not even married. Can you imagine how scandalous that would have been? So, hey, they went away, and it is believed that they probably were in that region for a period of time during Mary's pregnancy, because Mary, according to history and religion and culture, shouldn't have even gone with Joseph, because they only recorded the men. They weren't recording the women. So Mary shouldn't have been there. But she was with her husband, a husband-to-be. And the story tells us that when it was time for her to be born, for the baby to be born, there wasn't room for baby Jesus. Can you imagine? So many people had gone back home to Jerusalem, to Judea, that all the rooms, let's say the hotels, the inns, the restrooms, whatever you can think about, were all occupied, and Jesus could only be born in a manger. But the amazing thing here is that Jesus had been born in a manger. The only place, can you imagine? The Savior of the whole world, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of all of us, coming into this world, and the only place that could hold him is a manger. A manger being something kind of like this that was used by animals. It was where animals ate their food. And our King coming into this world, into such environment. This tells us something about our God. and our Lord Jesus. He didn't come to some rich, famous family that could have given him the best of life. But God chose Mary. What a humble way for the Savior to come into this world. What a humble way. What a humble way. And this tells us that if our God was that humble, then we have to be humble. This Christmas and my jumper and all that, I need to understand that my Lord is a humble Lord. And if I'm worshiping him, then I have to humble myself in worshiping him. And this humility has to be seen by all people. By all people. By all people. So, the shepherds were in their field. There is something about shepherds during that time. Shepherds were not regarded as people who could be trustworthy. They were looked down upon because of their lifestyle. They lived in the field with animals. And they took animals around grazing. And it is also believed that they would have been the people who were taking care of the temple's sheep and animals, which were used for sacrifices. And so could you now look at it this way? People who were not regarded as anyone, receiving the news, an angel coming to them, the first good news being preached by an angel to them, and saying that the Savior is born. The Savior is born. Who is this Savior? Jesus Christ. You see, so over here we have to pause and think about the words that the angel used, that he was going to save all people. You see, the word save means to be rescued from a situation that you cannot control. There was going to be someone who was coming to rescue us from a situation that we cannot control. And this should call the child of God to have joy. Why? And that is exactly what the angel said. I bring good news. News of joy, tidings. Tidings of joy. Had Jesus not come, where would all of us be? Had Jesus not come, what would you have needed saving from? All of us somehow has been saved from something. I know my background. I know where I come from. I know the life I lived as a kid. I know how I have reached here. If it had not been Jesus, I don't think any of you would have had the opportunity of hearing my voice speaking to you today. And that humbles me. That gives me joy. That gives me peace. And it is all because of Jesus Christ. It is all because of Jesus Christ. And you see, this whole message, the opportunity for people to come and share their testimony is to give us an example of the joy, the good news that Jesus has been to us. Somebody was totally undermined at her workplace, but by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, she is today promoted and she holds a very high position in her company. How many of us has been saved? Some of us have been saved from racism. Some of us have been saved from hate. Some of us have been saved from all sorts of things. Demonic oppressions and diseases and illnesses. I tell you, if all of us were to talk about what Jesus has come to do for us, we can never finish. And that is the joy. I remember when my father passed away and I was sitting alone in our living room. And I was weeping. Tears were just dropping down my face. I was saying to myself, my daddy has passed away and there is even not anyone here to go through my sorrow with me. Then the Holy Spirit told me, no, I am here with you. Amen. Then suddenly, the whole room changed. The feeling in the room, the presence of the Lord came in the room. He made it evident to me that I am here with you. What are you going through? In what situation do you find yourself needing a savior? This savior, his name is Jesus. He has already come to liberate you. You see, the devil will want you to believe that you are not saved. Even when you read Matthew's account of this story. When the wise men went to Judea to look for the king, and Herod, hearing that the Savior had been born, the king had been born, he was disturbed. I want to read it to you so that it will not be like I was telling you my mind. Okay. So if you look in Matthew chapter 2, verse 16 to 18. Matthew, please, if you need a Bible, there's a Bible in front of this, under the seat in front of you. But let's open our Bibles to Matthew. And we will see what the devil even tried to do to hinder God from releasing this Savior into this world. But the devil is a liar. He can't ever win. He has never won. He is indeed created by God. And he is not a match to God. Whatever he will want you to believe, I want you to understand that you are saved. With Jesus, you have everything. You have all the freedom you are seeking for. You have all the joy, the hope, the confidence that you are looking for. It is all in Jesus Christ. And now look, Matthew 2, 16, 18. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, rushing to the comforted because they are no more. Herod gave an order to kill all the young boys from the age of 2 years old to make sure that the Savior does not live to save people. But he was a liar. Before he could even utter such a decree, God had told Joseph to move the child to Egypt. I'm telling you, the devil will want you to believe, and you see, that you are not saved. That with Jesus, it is not enough. You need something else. And he will try everything possible to make you believe that you are not saved. He will bring every difficulty your way. He will bring every challenge your way. He will bring anything that he can use to tell you that Jesus is not enough for you. But I have come today to tell us that Jesus is all we needed. He is indeed our Savior. And in this season, remember that that is what matters, is Jesus in your life. Is Jesus in your life? All your struggles, all your fears. When the angel came, he told them, do not be afraid. What fear are you living with? What anxiety are you living with? What demon is tormenting you? What has doctors told you? Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news. The Savior is born. The Savior is born. This morning, I want to remind you that the Savior is born. The one that can save you from your struggles. The one that can redeem you. Your Redeemer has been born. Now all you need to do is to worship him. Just like the Magi, the passage I read before, the wise men, when they came, they said, where is the king that we might worship him? All you need to do is to open up your heart and worship him. Yield to him, accept him as your Lord, and surrender your totality to him. And like the writer says, Mary kept all the things that the wise men went to say. Mary kept all the things that the shepherds went to say, that an angel came to them and told them that the Messiah was born, the Savior was born. Mary kept them all in her heart. What are you keeping in your heart? Is it the bitterness of this world? Is it the hate of this world? Is it the tormentation of this world? What are you holding in your heart? This time around, you can release them and let them go. And release yourself into the arms of our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved you and I so much that he came to die for us. Today, we are remembering, we are having a service. 25th, we'll be having our turkeys. Some of us will be having the best pork on this earth. Some of us, I don't know what we are planning, but we'll be throwing the best parties. Some of us will be wearing the best ugly sweaters, like I'm doing. Remember, you need a savior. The gift I will give you is not what you need. The gift your wife will give you is not what you need. The gift your mama will give you, children here, the gift daddy will give you is not what you need. The gift your boyfriend will give you is not what you need, youth. Or any person here that is not married, the gift, whoever you are expecting a gift from, is not what you need. You need the Savior. You need the Savior. His name is Jesus. And his word says that, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open up, I will come in and dine with you. Are you dining with Jesus? The word dining brings a place of intimacy. You know, when I trust you and I open the doors of my home to you and you come in and me and you sit down, I actually waste my time to cook for you. Even if I don't cook it and I order it and it comes and we are eating it and me pretending like I'm treating you very well, I have chosen to be vulnerable to you. And the Lord Jesus is saying, if you will only open up, he will come in and relate with you so uniquely like that. You can be vulnerable with him and he will be willing to be vulnerable with you. Your struggles, your pain, your hurt, the things that you're going through, he will go through with you. He will give you victory. I saw my wife going through her difficult time. But these days when I look at her, she's bumping with smiles and beauty. One time I entered the room, the whole room was dark and she was still glowing. I said, yeah, Lord God, continue to give me such experiences with my wife. Jesus will put joy in your life. Joy like a river, joy like a river, joy like a river in my soul. I tell you, joy like a river, joy like a river, joy like a river in my soul. Jesus gives us joy. Rejoice, for the Savior is born. Is he your Savior? Worship him with all your heart. Open up to him. Allow him to be in full control of you. Denounce sin and receive goodness. Good tidings I bring to you. Good tidings, the angel said, I bring to you. And then suddenly the whole of heaven opened up and the whole of heaven host were rejoicing and praising God. Even angels are praising God. Why should you and I, human beings that Jesus came to die to save, not praise him? Angels didn't need to praise God. They don't need saving. But me and you needed saving, and yet still some of us are not praising him. Angels are praising, and me and you, some of us are the most tough people when we enter church. Well, the moment we come, we start being suspicious. These people, what are they going to do? I say, lift your hand, and some people go like this. Why are you here this morning? Why do you wake up from your bed every morning and leave? It is to praise him. We were created to worship him. We were created to honor him. That's why what's the best commandment in this world? Worship your Lord, your God, with all your heart and with all your understanding. The greatest commandment, love your God. If Jesus is your God, then love him. If Jesus is your Lord, then worship him. What are you worshiping? This morning, what are you worshiping? Some of us have come in here, I'm watching all of us. Some of us are so excited about the gifts we want to give to people, we have forgotten why we are here.
The whole Christmas season, our lives have been turned around. Oh, it's Christmas, so I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. Forsaking that it is God that you are worshiping, you have to live your life according to the word of God. Who are you worshiping? Who are you worshiping? Are you worshiping the Savior? Oh man. Rejoice! It is a time of joy. It is a time of worship. It is a time of peace. Why are you still letting the chains hold you bound? It's time to set yourself loose. At this moment, I want to invite our cantata team. They're going to come up and do some few songs for us. Remember, set yourself